John Williams here, Jim Cramer. You'll see on CNBC weeknights from 5 to 6 p.m. He'll be in town tomorrow. The Mad Money Man is going to be at Binney's from noon to 1:30 in Oak Brook, and then he heads over to Highland Park Store, the Skokie Valley Highway, on Skokie Valley Highway from 3 to 4:40 p.m., imparting his wisdom. Oh, yes. All of this, by the way, is sponsored by Catch 35. This is what's on our menu. Catch 35's got a great menu for you, too, in Naperville and downtown Chicago. Jim, welcome to WGN Radio in Chicago. Thanks for giving us some of your time.
Oh, please. I've got all the time you need because I'm so excited going back to a town that has always liked me, and I like right back because it's been just pure joy. I'm not kidding. Every time, you know, I had a book that came out in 2002, and I sold more books in Chicago than I did in any city in the country. So I always have been partial, and I've gone back there many times.
I'm glad to hear that. You know, when you first hit, I wasn't sure how seriously to take you. Did you worry about that? Because here you are talking about corporations and people's money, and the show was so entertaining, but also maybe at odds with the conventional way those things were reported. So we kind of had to figure you out. You know what I mean?
Well, John, this is very funny because what happened is that I was in the show for 7 years. And then my boss came to me, and unfortunately, one of my great friends, Mark Haynes, had passed away, who was in charge of the 9 o'clock show. And my boss said, you know what, you're a smart guy, but people don't know if to take you seriously or not. So I want to put you on the 9 o'clock, which will be deadly serious, with two other hosts. And you can show people that while you're fun, you actually have another side. And that was the greatest thing that's ever happened in my career, because it made me to be more than just the Mad Money Man, but it also gave me a chance to really show that I've got some knowledge, and I'd like to think a depth of knowledge about the financial market. So, yes, it was a very big issue for me, and that's why I went on the 9 o'clock.
Well, obviously, it's stuck now. What wisdom do you have for people generally about money these days, about their investments in the markets?
You know, I run a charitable trust, and what I've been doing is buying companies that do well in a recession, because I do fear that as the Federal Reserve raises rates so dramatically, recession is almost inevitable. So I like stocks like Johnson & Johnson, which is so boring, Procter & Gamble, companies that people know that have good balance sheets, that give you a dividend, and are not fly-by-night companies that we have learned to love, that we shouldn't have. So it's back to the basics for me, pal.
Do you think that there's a single mistake that the Fed or the federal government made that put us in this position, or as a result of the pandemic, was the current situation inevitable?
Yeah, this is a great question because I try not to be political because I'm not, but the government, the federal government, passed all these programs that put trillions of dollars in the economy.
Yeah.
But we don't even have the people to work for the programs they won. At the same time, the Federal Reserve thought that COVID was going to be with us forever and was afraid, so it kept interest rates too low. So we're paying the price of a federal government that spends recklessly and a Federal Reserve that feared that COVID was going to be, that Omicron was going to be horrendous. And that's why we have all these problems. It's why they've raised rates repeatedly, and it's why it's now 7.5% to get a mortgage.
Yeah, we got to talk a little bit more about that in just a minute. Stay right there. Jim Cramer, Mad Money Man, is in Chicago tomorrow. He'll be in Oak Brook from 12 to 1:30 at Binney's, and then 3 to 4:40 over at the Highland Park store on the Skokie Valley Highway. So what's he doing at Binney's? Why would he be at a Binney's, for crying out loud? I also wonder what he thinks about what just happened in England and what lessons we can learn from that. Jim Cramer, you see him on CNBC Monday through Friday, 5 to 6 in Nice Parts, is going to be at the Binney's in town. Before we go any further, tell us why you're going to the Binney's in town, Jim. What's going on there?
All right, my wife and I, after years of searching, have a mezcal, which, of course, is a variety in agave. A lot of people call it tequila. It's not tequila. It's mezcal. And searched it for 5 years, been down there for 12 years. I was a single malt scotch guy, and Binney's has got plenty of that. But this mezcal, I think, is got that taste of the smoke that I like from single malt, but it's also got some fruitiness. It is great for mixing, and I mean, look, there are other guys. We have competitors. I admit that. But if I had my druthers, I'd be drinking it right now before I went on the show. Now, I know that's not appropriate, and I understand that. But the moment it's over, the moment it's over, if you put me in Binnie's, I will find all of my phosphoro, and I'll chug it. Except for it's actually not for chugging, it's for sipping.
No, yes. It's just, what is it? Do you take it neat, or do you put one ice cube in there? How do I do it?
Oh, my God. Okay, so last night, I'm having some of the Panko. We have two of them. The Panko's a black bottle. And a guy puts it in ice, and I tell the guy, listen, this is meant to be sipped. And he said, sure, sip it with ice. I took the ice cube out. I'll tell you why. I think it's so good, I don't want it to have that melted ice cube in it. My wife, on the other hand, wants it on the rocks. And it's her company. I am the taste ambassador. So it's to each his own or her own on this particular issue, but it's a very important one.
Boy, there's a crock, the taste ambassador for a mezcal. Wow, that's
you know, she was trying to fit me in to do something. I'm not on the board. The one thing I know how to do is drink. I am a good drinker. I've been a professional drinker almost all my life, from the age of 18. Of course, they made that tougher now with this 21 thing. But wow, mezcal is my thing. It's all I drink now, other than Diet Mountain Dew.
I want to be a taste ambassador someday.
We all do. Who doesn't want to be taste ambassador? I mean, what a title. Other than owning an NFL team, taste ambassador.
It's too bad that, I know we'll get to the Philadelphia Eagles in a second, but it's too bad that Cheers isn't still in first run episodes, because you could sit next to Norm, who always wanted to be a taster for a beer, and you could sally up next to him at the bar and say, try this, Norm. That would have been a great scene,
I would.
Jim.
Can I go to Abe Froman's and do that? I'm allowed to do that?
Talk to me for a second about what happened in England and what we can learn from their Liz Truss over there.
This is a great issue, because I was listening. You did the very quick business update and stock market's up, and I'll tell you why it's up. There's word that the Federal Reserve, which is going to raise rates in November, doesn't want to impact the election. Because they saw what happened in the United Kingdom, where you had you had the Bank of England going up against the government, and the government fell. I think there are a lot of people at the Federal Reserve who really fear that they're going to elect a Republican Congress, Republican Senate, Republican House, if they keep raising rates. So the story is that they're going to raise rates and then pause, because they don't want to be the reason why they changed the coloration of Congress, which they will, by the way, because the economy is really going south fast.
Well, it would seem to me that the Congress, at least the House, is probably going to change. That's the smart money. I can't imagine that the Federal Reserve is going to change that one way or another. You're suggesting that they are raising interest rates to forestall a Republican House?
Well, no, I think that they have their goal is to take interest rates up dramatically, to slow the economy, get rid of inflation.
Well, that's not their goal. That's their tool. That's their means.
It's like a meat axe. We need a little kind of like a stiletto, or maybe like, you know, just kind of like a penknife. And I think that I'm just saying that versus, say, what happened in the United Kingdom, they're unelected, and they don't want to topple the government. How about the guys in England? What are they doing over there? How about the King Charles? Where the hell is he? Shouldn't King Charles be doing something?
For a minute there. Well, he's new. He's young. Oh, wait. He's new. And so maybe he's a little flat-footed right now. But you're talking about the government of Great Britain. What they did was they lowered the taxes and tried to ease some of their regulations, which a lot of conservatives would like to see happen in the United States. Is there a lesson for us to be learned here? I mean, look what happened. I don't know. Maybe we should. But look what happened when they did that over there. Is that a cautionary tale?
We do not want the White House to become an Airbnb the way 10 Downing Street's become. literally, it's like, I'll take that place for a couple of weeks and I'll give it to the next person. We want some certainty. We want some stability. But we don't want inflation. They've got really bad inflation over there. It costs an arm and a leg to go there. Fortunately, we got the dollar, which is very strong. I got a couple of shoes, leather made, in Italy, 2-for-1, versus my Rockports, which are made of rubber, from Thailand.
So the dollar is strong, and if you're buying imports, that's good for us here.
I feel like I want my Fosforo to be sold overseas so that we can all buy cases of it. The dollar is so strong, it's insane. Everything, you're a king overseas, and you're younger than Charles, as is everyone else.
So how optimistic are you when we turn the corner next year? Is this a six-month recession, and then prices will ease?
Yes, that's exactly what I'm saying. I'm saying this thing, the pain and this nonsense about the stock market going down, it probably ends in a couple of months because the stock market always predicts what's going to happen.
Right.
And once the Federal Reserve takes the rates up and the housing and people have to go break price and sell their houses lower and we slow down the economy, then things are going to get real good again. And I'm quite an optimist, not short term.
Understood, but I mean, so next year, say we're 25% down on major indices. In a year, do you think we'll be back to where we were? How long before we get back to zero?
I think we are going to get back. I think that the major companies will. The smaller companies will not make it through the recession. So I want everyone to look at the portfolio, and I'm going to say this at Binney's because I like talking stocks, okay? That everyone should look through the portfolio, and if they own a lot of companies that don't make money, real money losers, it's time to go. And I'm going to emphasize that over and over again because those companies aren't going to get to the they're not going to cross the Jordan River. They're not going to make it.
I was watching a movie the other day about what happened to GameStop. It's a documentary, and there you are in the middle of it. You had just had a heart attack or something, and they got you out of the hospital.
Very true. No, what happened, I had bed back surgery. There was a cyst that exploded. Very uncool. And so I was laid up. It was the first time I'd ever been in the hospital, and I had a catheter, which is a little more detailed than you probably want your listeners want.
That is correct.
Right, and I saw the price of GameStop, but I ripped out the damn catheter, which you should really have professionals do that. And I called into the show, and I got on. I showed the catheter. I said, "Look, this is what it's about. You need to know how dire I feel. I want everyone to sell GameStop. Everyone. The stock was at 400." At $400, and I got people out 300 points they saved, and I am despised. You know that I'm among the top five people who are hated on Twitter because of that call.
Yeah, right. I remember that.
And how about this? Do you know that last week, I think I passed Putin. Can you imagine?
As the most hated person. Well, but by the way, so a lot of people lost money on GameStop, too. I mean, it went up, and then it went down, so you weren't wrong.
Well, they should have gotten out. GameStop doesn't sell anything. They ought to become a subscriber. They should distribute my Mezcal. I mean,
you are going to distribute your Mezcal at the Oak Brook Binnie's at noon tomorrow until 1:30. He'll talk Mezcal, he'll talk stocks, and then he's hustling over to the Highland Park store at 3 o'clock. That's tomorrow. Find those Binnie's stores and enjoy this man's good company. Jim, it's a pleasure to talk to you today.
You know what? All I ask is that the Cubs, I want them in the World Series, okay? And yes, I want the Bears in the Super Bowl because I'm also going to go to Portillo's. There's my trilogy, okay?
Sounds like he's already into the Mezcal. We'll see you tomorrow. Thank you, Jim.
Thank you, guys.
Let's talk about another business that's doing well. In fact, so well, they want to open up a brick and mortar flagship store downtown Chicago. Robert Buxbaum is the CEO of Blick Art Materials, the long-standing Chicago-based company. Robert, you're on WGN. Thanks for joining us. How are you?
Hi. Couldn't be better, given that the stock market's up, the sun's shining. It's great.
Yeah, no kidding. I've been saying today that not only is this the best time of year in terms of the weather and the fall trees, this is one of the best years we've had. It's been a delightful fall.
Yes, it has.
It's enough to make a person want to get some art supplies out and draw a pretty picture.
It sure is. It's always good to get some paints out and give it a shot.
So are you an artist, too? To be the CEO of Blick, do you have to kind of have an artistic touch, Robert?
My wife does.
Fair enough. You guys are opening up a brick-and-mortar store downtown Chicago when so many other businesses are doing the opposite. Have you all had some, I don't know, jitters, last minute? You got cold feet after making a commitment like this?
Not at all. We had a store already in the loop, and we had to give up that lease earlier during COVID and couldn't come to a deal with that landlord and found a great new location on Randolph. So Chicago is a great market for us, and there's not really any concern. Beautiful new store. It's going to do fine.
You know, that is what happened to so many businesses, particularly the restaurants. The leases expired. They didn't renew them, and then worried about where the business would be afterwards. They just moved or didn't reopen. But you decided to see, I mean, that was your getaway if you wanted to, but you wanted to stay downtown, huh?
Yeah, absolutely. There's a, you know, a School of the Art Institute is right there. There's plenty of professional artists that need to be served in the market. The store will do great.
So what do you guys sell? For those who haven't been to one of the locations, how do you make your money?
So we are known as, in the United States, as having the largest selection of fine art materials. So if you're an artist in the U.S., you know who we are. Probably if you aren't, you don't. But what you can find at Blick is an incredible array of anything from pens, pencils, great, fun, cool gifts for the holidays, things like that at our store.
Yeah, I know that. And you wouldn't discourage somebody like me. One year for Christmas, I think I got my wife a bunch of art supplies. I walked into your store. I don't know anything. And they were really helpful. In fact, it was a downtown store. And they were really helpful about, well, here's, you know, what do you want to do? Who's going to do it? And then they kind of walked me through what I needed.
Yeah, I mean, the store employees and staff can definitely make it easy for somebody who has never done it to do it. I think there's more fear than needs to be in terms of just picking up a pen and drawing and a pad of paper. I mean, it's easy, and it's actually not very expensive either as an entry point for a great leisure activity.
I wonder if you guys are a destination, you know? I mean, we talk about the foot traffic downtown, and it's down. And we hope that it comes back sooner than later. But maybe you're not so dependent upon casual foot traffic because people are going to specifically seek you out. Is that one of the ways you imagine you survive and survive downtown?
Yeah, I mean, we definitely are a destination. I mean, it has changed a lot since the advent of the internet, and a lot of our business comes through our website and has. It used to be if you had one of these gigantic flagship stores, they draw people from, say, Madison, Wisconsin. The radius at which we're going to draw people is a lot shorter than it used to be, but it still is a big destination store for people.
Tell me about
your... If you want to see the material, you have to come in.
I would imagine, yes. There must be something, if not tactile, at least important to physically be in the room with the art supplies you're going to buy, at least for somebody that's new to it. Tell me about your new location. So where do I go? What do I see? What's it like?
So it's at the corner of Randolph and State. So it's a beautiful, we try to find eclectic stores and eclectic locations. This is in the middle of the theater district, a lot of tall buildings around it, and it's a brownstone that was, I guess, started its life in 1934 as a restaurant. It's got a cuckoo clock on it that we lovingly repaired back to functioning. So you can go in, it's probably the only like graystone, brownstone building in that area.
Sounds like a nice place just to kick around. 18,000 products stocked there is what I'm reading. Does that sound about right?
Yeah, it does. It actually sounds a little light. I think it's got more.
Well, I hope that you sell every one of them. Continued success. Let's keep people downtown. Thanks for giving us some of your time today, Robert.
No, thank you very much for having me on. A pleasure.
And again, the ribbon-cutting ceremony is going to take place Friday, October 21st. What do you know? At let's see, what time? What time are we cutting the ribbon on that?
I think it just happened in the past, but that means
right.
It's easy to get into the store. You can come in, and there's nothing blocking you.
Yeah, I just scrolled down, 11 a.m., so I'm glad you're up and running. Keep up the good work. Thank you, sir.
Cheers.
This is the Wintrust Business Lunch. More business news now with Steve Grzanich.
Start your timer. It's time for the Wintrust Business Minute, sharing Chicago's business news of the day. Chicago-based Spot Hero is teaming up with Lyft to expand its user base. Cranes reports Spot Hero is now available inside the Lyft app in Chicago and San Francisco, with more markets to be added in the future. Spot Hero cuts deals with parking garages to offer discounts on parking and then takes a cut of the transaction. It has about 3 million users, but will now have access to 20 million more on Lyft. Since its founding in 2011, Spot Hero has done $1 billion in parking transactions. This deal will help the company further recover from a pandemic drop in business. Chicago's Tavern on Rush is closing sooner than previously announced. The final day for the restaurant at 1301 North Rush will be next Wednesday, October 26th. Owners had hoped to stay open until the end of the year, even though the lease agreement expires October 31st. The landlord decided to push up the closing date. Tavern on Rush employees will be paid through the remainder of the year. The owners of the property are working on a new restaurant concept to replace Tavern. I'm Steve Grzanich, and that's your Wintrust Business Minute.
Here's the business of food and Steve Alexander.
Yes, and it's a Mr. Fizz Friday, sponsored by the Chevy Silverado HD. Experience life in HD. Visit ChevyDriveChicago.com. Jim Fizzell, our gardening guru, is with us again, and there are some of us, Jim, who are tired of mowing our lawns, but I guess with this warmer weather, we can't put the lawnmower away for the winter yet, can we?
It's supposed to be in the 70s this weekend. That means grass will be growing. You don't want to keep it long over the winter. If it lies down, you're going to get snow mold and so forth. I can remember a couple of years where we mowed the grass right after Thanksgiving. So that happens. But the leaves are falling and things are coming to a halt. When the leaves fall, you really need to keep them raked up off the lawn. Mulch them into the lawn if you have a mulching mower, or collect them, compost them, or recycle them, but don't leave them on the lawn if you can help it. One of the things you really need to do this time of year, before things are all completely closed down, is to take a walk around the yard. Make notes as to what changes you might make for next year and what went well this year, what went wrong this year. In fact, it's more important to put down what went wrong than what went well because you don't want to make the same mistakes over again. I like to draw a map of the garden as it exists this season. Sometimes even your plans don't follow the plan, so you need to do that because you need to locate the general area for each kind of a plant. Identify the ones you're going to need to replace and divide and so forth. But it's also important where you're going to rotate vegetable crops for disease control to know where the ones were last year. Other things that need to be done now, you can begin cutting back on the spent perennials because they're pretty well done. Label them so you can find them next spring. I like the little plastic ID labels that I put on them. That will give you a chance to know where these things are if you want to make any changes. Pull up the old annuals and the veggies. Once the plants are frozen, you want to pick all those green ripe tomatoes. Those are the ones that are kind of a whitish green, but you can store them indoors to ripen them. It might take 2 or 3 weeks for it to happen, but it will happen.
Mr. Fizz, Jim Fizzell. From the farm to your belly, today's National Apple Day. It's National Pumpkin Cheesecake Day and International Nachos Day. That's the business of food on 720 WGN.
You're listening to the Wintrust Business Lunch on WGN. Michael Edwards is the president and CEO of the Chicago Loop Alliance. LoopChicago.com gives you some of these numbers and news, and some of it's getting better all the time. Michael, thanks for joining us again.
Pleasure to be here. Thank you, John.
I know you guys chart traffic, among other things, in the downtown area. What's the latest?
Well, things continue to improve overall. We are coming up here to a change in season, so how people use downtown is changing. So while things like hotel occupancy is down slightly and pedestrian traffic on State Street is down just slightly, it's still at 68% of 2019 levels. So there's still a lot of people out there. What we are seeing is the return to office. And so a lot of people have been talking about this. It's certainly debated a lot. But what we found in September was that more people started coming back. There was a significant jump. And so office hit a high of 51% on specifically September 26th, but we're at about 50% occupancy, largely Monday through Thursday. Fridays are a little bit slower.
Yeah, I saw a report earlier this year. It said that, in fact, 5 days a week, office occupancy is below 50%. I don't remember if that was a Chicago or a national number, but you're telling me that on average through the week, we are at 51% occupancy now?
That's right. That's correct. And that's from a Castle key card matrix that we receive each month. And it's a bit broader than the Loop. So it does take in some areas outside of the Loop because that's just the way they cut the data. But overall, things are getting better and it's noticeably busier downtown, partly because of the office workers. But if you look at the CTA trains and even the Metra trains, they are getting more full. If you come in on a Tuesday morning, 8 o'clock at the Brown Line stop at Addison, you have to stand when you get on the train because there's so many people in there. People are coming back.
Hotel occupancy is going down now because it's the summer. Summer's over.
Correct.
Where are we in relation to 2019 and hotel occupancy?
So in September, we were at 76%, which is still, you know, pretty good. We were in the 90, 95 range midsummer, but that's always the high season for Chicago. So this is not unusual. And so that number is still pretty healthy.
Tuesday is the busiest day of the week in the loop, and Friday is probably the least, at least in terms of businesses. Is that right?
Yeah, I think that's probably true. I think Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday are all kind of the same. I'm sure it's different in different buildings and different companies. But what we're noticing on Friday is a lot of people come downtown later in the day that maybe are kind of tired of working from home and want to come down and experience their city in a different way.
Do you have anything about restaurants or the theater district? How well used are those?
The theaters are doing quite well. There's some great shows that people can come down and enjoy. They've kind of moved through and passed some of the pandemic protocols, so people are getting more comfortable being, you know, in a group like that. The restaurant, you cannot get a restaurant reservation, you know, anywhere within maybe two or three blocks of any of the theaters in the loop. So if you want to come down, it's partly because there's a few fewer restaurants, but it's also because there's a lot of people downtown into the evening.
There's an editorial in the Tribune with some ideas for how to energize the downtown. Any of them jump out at you? Did you like some of those?
Yeah. I mean, we're doing what we can to accelerate the recovery, things like Sundays on State, and we're going to be announcing a lot of those vendors at Sundays on State are now going to be inside the former DSW store for a holiday market. So those are the kind of ways we want to give people lots of different reasons to come downtown that, you know, kind of meets their interests.
They were also recommending that some of the events that would start at 7 or 8 in the evening start at 5 or 6 in the evening. Let's capture the audiences there. And also, if people are leery about coming downtown, make it more attractive to them earlier. That sounds like a reasonable idea.
Yeah, I think you're right. Yes, I think that's a reasonable idea. We have shifted some of our safety patrols and our hospitality patrols to be later in the evening when more people are down here. Downtown is really being driven by the students and by the residents and by the folks that are enjoying all of the arts and culture that's available here in the loop.
It's funny you mentioned the residents. We sometimes forget how many people live downtown. Michael Edwards is the president and CEO of the Chicago Loop Alliance. A full report at loopchicago.com. Nice to talk to you, Michael.
Always. Thank you.